Please be seated. We continue our series on power words, words that have significance. And on All Saints Sunday, we always have this reading from the Beatitudes. You've heard of the Beatitudes, right? It's a Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says that we are going to be blessed. And he uses the word blessed many, many times. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. But I wanted to share a reading from what's called the Good News Bible. I don't know if you remember, but years ago, the American Bible Society, one of our Lutheran Hour speakers, Oswald Hoffman, was really behind this. They did a new translation of the Bible, which was supposed to be easier for us to read. It was called the Good News Bible. You can still buy them out there, but you can get them on the internet and on YouVersion and stuff. But I when I was growing up, they started to switch from blessed are to happy are those. Because that's, for whatever reason, the Good News Bible decided to change the word blessed are, to happy are. Now, that created a lot of problems, and I'll go into a little later, but I want you to read it from the Good News version so you see how different it sounds. Maybe it doesn't sound different to you, but it sounded very different to me. I remember when, because we were using the King James Version before we went to the Good News Bible, and that was quite a shock. To go from the King James Version of the Bible to the Good News Version of the Bible was very, very shocking. It was quite a difference. And I'll never forget the first time this was read, I was like, this is not right. Even then I had trouble with change, but I'm just a kid. So happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. Do you see a little bit of a difference there between what we read in the gospel lesson and how the Good News Bible translated this? And one of the biggest things was, when I was growing up, was I had difficulty because I didn't really see this, the way I was taught, the way I was brought up, was to see blessings as, to be blessed was different than to be happy. Any of you have that experience? To be blessed was much deeper, was much bigger than to be happy. Happy is what you were when you got your candy home from Halloween and were able to open it up. That was happy. To be blessed was to know you had a home to go to open up the candy. Make sense? Okay. So it was much deeper, it was much, much more meaningful. So when this version came out, I remember thinking, happy? Blessings are more than happy. Makarios, the word for blessed, is not just happy, it's much more. It's more like content, at peace, a state of being rather than simply an emotion. It means that we know we're justified by grace through faith, and we know we're sanctified to be made holy, and finally to be holy in heaven, sinner and saint at the same time, but to be made holy in heaven and without sin before the Lord. Isn't that awesome, that transition? And so when Jesus is giving this message, I think that it's kind of a misnomer to think it's just about happiness. Because it's much more than that. Because what Jesus was doing was he was trying to change the perspectives of the people that were following him. This is the outline you have on in your bulletin insert. It's very simple. He wanted to change the perspective of the people who were following him. That's why the Sermon on the Mount is so powerful. The Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, 6, and 7 is to change, to turn their world upside down, to change their perspective on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's especially important as we remember the Reformation Day on October 31st and All Saints Day and then All Souls Day, is that the Reformation was trying to change the perspective of people to see things from God's perspective, not from a worldly perspective. And it's the same thing with the Sermon on the Mount. What was the problem? What was the problem that Jesus was trying to address with his disciples when he sat down on the mountain and started to teach them? Well, I put it up there. People not in a good space by worldly standards. Those people that he's talking about being blessed, have they arrived? There's one thing I don't like about Google Maps is the way she says when you get there, you've arrived. Because when I was growing up, that was a totally different perspective. When you said people had arrived, it meant that they had achieved what they wanted. When someone had finally achieved, you know, got their house that they wanted, you'd say, they arrived. Or they got to the pinnacle of their department and become a president in the company or whatever, you'd say, they arrived. And so whenever she says, you've arrived, it always gives me, it's a different connotation than just getting to that place. It's like, it's a state of being. You've arrived. And if you look at the people that Jesus is speaking to, have they arrived by the standards of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the rich people? Had they arrived? No. People who are still mourning, people who are poor, poor in spirit, meek, have they arrived from the worldly standard? No. They were looked down upon. They were looked down upon. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they thought there was something wrong with them, that they had sinned, that there was something wrong with them, that they hadn't got to where they were. They weren't righteous enough. They weren't pure enough. They weren't where they were supposed to be. And so they were looked down upon. And Jesus comes on the, sits down on the Sermon on the Mount, probably got a few Pharisees and Sadducees in the back row, because they were always kind of just there. They didn't really want to hear what he had to say. They were looking for him to mess up, right? And so he's probably got a few of them in the back row, and he's there teaching, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed. And they're going, say what? Are you kidding me? You really believe what this guy's selling? They haven't arrived. They're still in a state where they don't. You shouldn't want to be there. You shouldn't want to be in that state. And Jesus changes the perspective from arriving to being blessed on the journey. How many of us who've been disciples for a long time know that you get blessed on the journey? Anybody? How many of us know that you get blessed when you're going through hard times and all you have to rely on is the promise that God has made to you, that he is there with you no matter what? When you're going through hard times and you just don't have anything to rely on except Jesus, that's when you get blessed. Because being blessed is not just about being happy, but it's about being content and fulfilled on the journey. It's about that peace we get. Just talking to Paul here, who was in the hospital last week. I'm so glad to see you, by the way. And he's here with us. But, you know, it's in that hospital room where the Lord comes to you in the midst of uncertainty and pain and shows up and gives you peace. That's when we're blessed. Any of us experience that? Yeah. That's what blessing means. And yet we still fall prey as people of God to thinking that, you know, if we believe in Jesus, we should somehow have arrived. And I understand why that happens. There are people out there that say, if you just believe, you can have a Mercedes too. Or a BMW, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't want to pick on cars because it's not their fault. You know, I mean, you probably heard that. You know, if you've arrived, you'll have this, and you'll have this, and you'll have this, and you'll have this. If you've arrived, this is what it should look like. And is it really a biblical standard? Or is it a worldly standard? Is it from God's perspective? Is it from the world's perspective? Who defines arrival? Who defines what it means that I've arrived? Yay. Who defines that? Well, Jesus defines it. And he says that our arrival, the one that we should be celebrating, the one that we should understand, the one that we should be blessed by, is that we have a place with him forever. And he uses we as a church historically use interesting terms to define this. The first one is we use the term church militant. I kind of like that picture. Church militant. You see that? How many of you really, really know that you are in the church militant? Yeah. Well, now, what's so funny? I don't know. How many of you feel like you're in the church militant? How many of you feel like you're in the driver's seat of the church militant? I mean, it's not a fun place to be, is it? That's why you need to have armaments. That's why in Ephesians it tells us to put on the full armor of God, right? Because we're in the church militant. The Satan's attacking us at all times. You could be in that place where Christ is so present in your life and you're so at peace and you're so content and you know the Lord's got a place for you in heaven, and all of a sudden Satan attacks. And Satan doesn't just use his own arrows, he uses people. How many of you know this? Yes. He uses people. People who think they are doing, you know, doing good things. He uses people. And that's why it's so important as a church militant to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to put on the full armor of God, to know the power of God's Word, to know the power of prayer, to know that He is alive and well and able to deal with this stuff. And Satan in particular. Because he's defeated, right? Because we want to celebrate that even though we're in the church militant, and we are, how many of us know that as Christians in the world, we have this dichotomy. We're sinners as well as saints. We're in the church militant, but we have one foot in the church triumphant, right? Because we know we're going to heaven, right? If we believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He promises, I've gone to prepare a place for you. You have a place with me forever. Isn't that awesome? So we're in the church militant, but we also have our place saved in the church triumphant. And that's really important, because how many of us get really down when we realize we're just in the church militant? It's depressing, isn't it? When you just think all there is what there is in this world. And then we get to be reminded, no, we have a place in that feast. I tried to get a picture that had the one long head table. Because when you think about the feast of victory for our God, I know it's kind of dark and I apologize for that, but if you can see that, that's one huge long table. Because there's nobody in the marriage feast of the Lamb that's going to be in the back row. Everybody's going to be at the head table. They're there with the Lamb. It's a feast of victory. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's kind of like that for us, isn't it? If we kind of got a curtain here and we got a curtain here, and this is our experience right here today. But yet when we celebrate this feast, we're celebrating a feast that goes back to the beginning of time and continues to the end of time. And if we could look down the table, we're celebrating at this particular point, but if we could look down on both sides, we would see an everlasting line of saints, people who have gone before us, who are celebrating with us. Isn't that awesome? I just wish we could open our minds and our eyes and our hearts to the truth of who we are. Because if we understood that, when we're struggling with being in the church militant, we would also remember that we have a place saved for us and we're part of the church triumphant. Isn't that exciting? So what do we say when we're struggling with things and we feel down and we feel like it's just the world is beating up on us, and we say to ourselves, we know we're in the... Come on, guys, help me here. You want to get through this, right? The food smells really good. The longer we can stay in here, the less food, right? Come on, let's think about this. Perspective here. Okay. When we're struggling with the world, when we're struggling with sin, when we're struggling with temptation, when we're struggling with people, we know we're in the... And it's in those moments where the Lord comes to us and with his presence and with his promises, with his word in prayer, and we listen to him and he says, but remember, I have me and preparing a place for you in the... There we go. Isn't that awesome? That's the truth of All Saints Day. That's the truth of why we celebrate. That's the truth of why we ring the bell. That's why we, the truth of why we're here. Because we're not just in the church militant, but we're in the church. Amen. So then we can say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when others revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Because you understand, we're not just in the church militant, but we're in the church triumphant. So rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Brothers and sisters, may we always remember who we are. And I want to close with that final verse there from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has bestowed on us. I like that word better than given. That we should be called children of God. I like the word lavished upon us. See what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us. That we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be in the church triumphant has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. That's what it means to be a saint, right? It means to be made pure, made holy by the blood of Christ. We are sinners and saints. That's the gift we have. May we not just live in the church militant, but may we also remember we have citizenship in the church triumphant. May we celebrate that we are not just sinners, but we are saints. Amen.